As you know, I don't use notes. He's got some scribblings down here. It reminds me of that when you sang that "We Missed the Words Out." I remember once, well, we used to do Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes, didn't we? And we used to miss the words out and do the actions. I remember once, I was in Tunisian airport, and we got there first, and we're at the front of the desk, and then everybody else came and we had, and you know, you're waiting for it to open to go on the plane. And there's a problem with the plane. They were waiting for a soft word load down, or wherever it is, coming from Paris, so the plane could fly. So it gives you confidence, doesn't it? So everybody's, you know, it's like in these airports, no air conditioning working whatsoever, and everybody's going nuts. So I turned around to everybody who was sitting on the floor and said, "Come on, get up. Head, shoulders." And they did, they all got up. Yeah. That was a different kind of a day. I've been thinking about these pictures for a long time. I remember them when I was, it was many, many years ago, and these pictures are going to keep changing. Many, many years ago when I first saw them. They're remarkable pictures in a wrong kind of way. They're very, very frightening. And you might not know the history behind them. Some people might know the history behind these. If you keep looking at them, like I said, the remarkable pictures for all the wrong reasons. The fellow who took these pictures, don't know who they were, don't even know the names, right? Doesn't even know if they're male or female, right? Doesn't know their ages, doesn't know where they lived, doesn't know if they had a family. Right? Doesn't know the struggles in life, or even what they were worth, if they were worth anything. But guess what? We know the date that they all died. How could you know all that? These pictures are frightening, really. These pictures show you the depths of man's heart. If you look at these pictures, I'll tell you when they were taken. They were taken on August the 6th, well, they weren't really taken on August the 6th, they were taken days after August the 6th. But these pictures are the people that died on August the 6th, 1945. You know, and you look at them pictures, they were taken in Hiroshima, or whatever we call it. As the bomb went off, and they were instantly vaporized, that's all was left of them, their shadows. You think how far man has fallen, and you see what this world has to offer you, and I'm telling you, it has absolutely nothing. Right? And you look at them, and they are remarkable. I think they're remarkable anyway. And when I first saw them, I couldn't get them out of my mind, because they were that troubling. I mean, that looks like a Banksy, but that was a person. Do you think God knows who they are? Do you think God knows everything about them? Because when they got up that morning, they didn't think for a second that they, that day, they, you know what I mean, there's a war going on, but they never thought for a second that they were going to be ushered into God's presence. And if you think about them, and there's a lot more pictures like this, you know what I mean? They're frightening. What has this world got to give you? Alright? You know as well as I do, through life, we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have troubles. So I've got a Bible reading here, which is going to be Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. And you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my goings out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know. You know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you create my innermost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hid from you when I was made in that secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained to me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand when I awake and I am still with you. Wonderful words. When he says, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. You think about that. God thinks about you all the time. He thinks about all your problems. He knows what's coming. And if you think about the problems that you've got, and each and every one of us has completely different problems. Some people have got ones that weigh us down real, real deep. And some of us don't have big problems. Yet, you know, some days the weight of the world can be on your shoulder. They can be really, really heavy. And I've seen over the years that God knows these things. And what he does is, and I've seen it for myself, and I've testimony from other people, that you think everything's going to be rosy in front of you, and God puts another door in front of you, something else for you to walk through. So he gives you a quandary. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? And then, you know, and he kind of prompts you to a door. And sometimes he opens the door and throws you through it. And he's steering you away from danger. And I remember something that happened with my dad, and some of you will remember this. My dad, being a school teacher, head of his department, all the rest of it, he went to be deputy head of the school, right? And everybody said he was going to get it, he was going to be shoehorned in, it was a certainty, all the rest of it. Sat there, did the interview, he didn't even get through first stages of the interview. And everybody sat down, scratching their head. They couldn't believe that he'd not got the job, because it was his, right? 3 to 6 months later, that job changed. And that would have meant my dad would never have been here. And he was an elder at the time. He wouldn't have been able to come to the prayer meetings. He wouldn't have been able to come to most of the meetings because he would have been busy in the job that he'd gone for. And he believes that God had closed the doors on him. Now, that might happen to a lot of people, but sometimes God closes the door on things and you don't even know it. And sometimes he opens the door and he throws you through it. And in that case, God had closed the door and thrown me down through another door. And you don't know these things. You don't know how God's walking with you in life. He doesn't know how he's guiding you. If you've been chosen by him, he's with you no matter what. He opens the doors for you. Your life is planned by him. He gives you the words to say. When we go to the prayer meeting, and if you ever do come to our prayer meetings, some of our prayer meetings, you don't think a lot's happening. And people are praying. And then months later, you see an answer to prayer. And we've seen it in this church. We've seen it in the last couple of months. Oh, God has worked through our prayers in the prayer meeting. It's wonderful to see. And you think, sometimes, you know, you're praying for something and you think, oh, what's the answer to this? And God answers the question. He's never, ever going to leave us or forsake us. We belong to him. All right? So no matter what this world is going to throw at us, and we see them pictures there, they thought their life was all ahead of them. You never know what's around the corner. But God has his best intentions for you. All right? He loves you so much, he went the extra mile. He went further than anybody else could ever go. Because you're special to him. He knew the doors that were in front of him, and he freely walked through them. He rode in on a donkey, and everybody was shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," and he knew what was coming. He looked at them stones, then the temple as it was there. He saw all the houses that were there. AD 70, Josephus wrote, "What? Jerusalem is like a ploughed field. The only thing is left is the cursed fort of our enemy." Nothing was left. Not one stone on another. Jesus knew this. He wanted to gather them up like a hen gathers its chicks. He set his face like a flint, and he went to a cross. But before he went to that cross, he was flailed. The skin was ripped off his back. The creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, right? A crown of thorns was placed on his head, and it wasn't placed, I don't give a monkey's what anybody says. It was slapped on, hook, line and sinker, and probably hammered in to make sure it stopped there. Why? Because if he hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have been standing here today. You wouldn't have been sitting there. He did that because he loves you. And his love for you, he will never ever stop loving you. Yes, do you love the people in these pictures? Yes, because that's his nature. God is love. He loved them. But things happen in this world. God stands aback, and sometimes he gets involved and sometimes he doesn't. But that is his sovereign power to do that. When Christ Jesus went to the cross for us, it was the biggest statement of love this planet has ever seen. Ever. Never ever going to see anything like that again. That day, he bore our sins. Because he says, by his stripes we're healed. By his blood, you know, there's no washing away of sins without the shedding of blood. He became the perfect Lamb of God. So you think about your life. You think of all your dreams for your life. All the dreams that these people had for their lives as well. But you're here today. The Bible says today's the acceptable time of salvation. This is the day that you should be thinking about where you're going to spend eternity. Because you don't know what's around that corner. None of us know what's around that corner. He does, because he quite clearly says so. His word says he knows what's around that corner. If he's with you, he might stay here this way. He might not stay here that way. Because there's plenty of people who have stood their ground and died for him on this planet. But where are they now? Hey, where are they now? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The older you get, and you think, the older you get, life gets easier. It doesn't, it gets harder. But you've got Christ with you. You're going to see him face to face. He's done a job for you. He died on the cross for your sins. Now, I work with people day in, day out, and I get, and I'm sick of hearing this one. They always say, and you probably heard it yourself, if God's a loving God, he's not going to send me to hell. Really? Did you see what he did to his son on your behalf? So what are you to him if he's going to do that to his son? Think about it. He went through what? He went through separation from the Father. Separation from God for you. Separation that he'd never, ever, ever known. They were one. In spirit, in mind, in thought. Not always in power, because when he came down here, some of them powers had been taken away from him. He's got them now, though. Some of the things when he was down here living were withheld from his knowledge. But not anymore. There's a day coming when the heavens are going to roll away. And he's going to come straight through. Because it says, the heavens wear away like a garment. They're wearing away now. Right? And I see what's going on in this world, and I honestly believe that one day they're going to let them things off again. You know what I mean? Because man learns nothing. What do they say? History teaches that man learns nothing about history. You know, they look at it, but they soon forget everything. Eat, drink, sleep, for tomorrow we die. You know what I mean? Go out, have a good time. It's not about that. It's about, where are you going to spend eternity? In 100 years' time, what's it going to matter to you lot? Are you going to be in here, listening to me? Nope. Are you going to be in here? Well, I very much doubt it. All right? You're going to be living a long time if you are. Where are you going to be? You're either going to be with God, or with the one you chose to be with, the devil. You've got to think about these things. These things, you know, 70 years, is fleeting. Blimey, I remember when I was a little lad sitting here, and I remember when I was a little lad holding his hand, because I've got a picture of it, and he was a little lad as well, in shorts. I could have stuck that picture up here as well, if you remember them days. Have you seen that picture? You know, goes like that. I can't believe where my life has gone. You know what I mean? It goes so fleetingly. And I want you to realise, and if you don't realise, I've not done my job. Jesus came here today, well, came here years ago to this planet, 2,000 years ago, so that you could spend eternity with him forever. Forever and ever and ever. No more tears, no more crying, no more problems. All right? What's that worth? That's worth everything. Because I know the struggles and the strifes that you go through. Because I do. But we have a Saviour that can guide us down these things. Guide us down the road. He can guide us on a road, you know, sometimes it can be thin and narrow. You know, the Bible says, you know, it's a straight and narrow road. And sometimes we jump ship and we get on the motorway. Alright? And we're on the motorway and we're ploughing down it. We're running the wrong road. Where is he? He's promised to never leave us. He's there with us saying, come on back. He's putting the handbrake on us saying, come on, come on, come on. Come off at this junction. Do you know what I mean? We have a wonderful Saviour. He died for your sins. He took your punishment. He says, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He says, you are special to me. Right? His thoughts towards you are never ending. He only thinks wonderful things for you. Mind-blowing things. Because for now, we see through a glass darkly. We don't know what is waiting for us. He knows. But I can promise you one thing. In 100 years' time, it ain't going to matter to you. And it ain't going to matter to me. Because, trust me, you're going to be partying with me. And there ain't no escaping that one, I'll tell you that one. Now I know you're all going to thinking, oh dear me, but we're going to have a good time. Why? Because God says, no eye has seen, nor mind conceived, what I have in store for those who love me. You know what I mean? You can take that to the bank. That's worth any pension. Because we're blessed. I'm just going to finish off now with another verse. Have you got this verse? Jeremiah 29 verse 11. There you are. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And a future. Jesus died for us so we could have a future with him. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave this building. I said that once to the young people. Because if he ever used to say, you could leave here tonight and get run over by a bus, you'd get 100 points. Because we had point systems. So if somebody's doing a talk to the young people, you'd see how many points you could rack up. And then the end of the month, you know, E1 or E1. So I said, if you ever said somebody's going to leave. So I said, you could leave here tonight and get run over by a bus, but it probably will not happen. Guess what? Somebody left and went straight under a bus. I couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? You do not know what is round the corner. But God does. And he's calling to you. Right now, do something about the sin in your life. Repent. All you've got to do is say you're sorry. Yesterday we were in Southport, and about 30-odd kids went forward and gave their lives to Christ. I know as well as you do the problems that they're going to have down the line. You know what I mean? And I know as well as you do the devil is already busy trying to knock it out of them. And it doesn't take much when they're young. Because And I remember Big H saying this, what you save them on, sometimes you have to feed them on. And what are they going to be fed on? They're going to go home, they're going to get grief, they're going to get this, they're going to get that, they're going to take the goggle box on, and it will soon taint anything that they got. And I remember the other one that Big H used to say, you know what I mean? You had a native in America, the Indian, and he went to him and they said, what is it like when you become a Christian? And he says, in his own words this, he says, it's like two dogs fighting within me. He says, do you mean two dogs? He says, they're going at it like this. And you know, you do something wrong, or you know, you're torn a bit to this and you're torn to that, and you think, oh, and the pressures of life come on you, and the pressures of who you were, your walk with God, come on you. And he says, it's like two dogs wrestling inside me. And he says, well, which one wins? Which one wins? He goes, the one I feed. So when you do give your life to Christ, it's not about sitting down and saying, I have done it. It's about saying, no, I need to feed what? I need to feed the Holy Spirit that lives within me. I need to feed that part of me. I need to grow in knowledge and of grace. I need to know what he has in store for me. So, I know this is a special day for Andrew. He's going through the waters of baptism. But we have prayed in our prayer meetings for you, mate. Or should I say, brother. You know what I mean? We have prayed for you because I know the stresses and I know the strains that this world will put on you. Right? But Christ said one thing. He said, my yoke is light. Right? The yoke that the people carry in this world of the one that they follow, the devil, it's heavy. Oh, it's an heavy yoke. But Christ says, my yoke is light. Why is it light? Because he's there, picking it up with you. He's holding you up. He's upholding you. We have a wonderful Saviour. And I tell you what, the older I get, the more precious it becomes to me. And I hope it becomes to you. Because Jesus is so special. And he's done wonderful things for me. And sometimes you sit down and you think, do I love him? Like that fella said the other, he couldn't get his head round for years. Why people love Jesus. You know, he just couldn't figure it out. People love Jesus because it's what he's done for us. I'll ask you, do you love him? Because in the final analysis, another one of Big Bit Virtues, when you stand before him, what are you going to stand on? Are you going to stand on Christ, on the solid rock? Or were you standing on the sand? Because it all comes tumbling down if you're standing on the sand. But if your foundations are deep and you're standing on Christ, the solid ground, trust me, you can't go wrong. But it's easier in some cases to jump off that solid ground onto the sand. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You overcome it, what? For me and for you and all the other believers in this world. Jesus loves us. And if you think about that, how special and how precious is that? It is so precious. And he is so special. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that if you don't know the Lord, please reconsider what this world has to offer you. Because he has nothing. He has everything. And eternity is waiting for us all. But where will you spend it? I know where I'm spending it, and I cannot wait. You know what I mean? But why I'm here is give me a job to do. So, thank you for listening. I'm back up to Gareth.